Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Welcome, welcome. A couple of rules before we get started here. Just ground rules. You've heard them before, but just a little reminder. We tend to be salty in our language.
Salty sailors.
We swear a bit. We blaspheme from time to time.
Just a little.
If that's not your jam, God bless you. You have been warned. And in addition to that, we try to cast a wide net, so we are Catholics, but you don't necessarily have to be to listen to this program and perhaps mine a bit of spiritual gold out of it.
Sure.
Or spiritual
turds. All are welcome
turds.
In this place.
All are welcome. So, welcome to Church Drunk. We're glad you're here. I am Guess, here with my co-host and good friend, Dizzy. Dizzy, what are you drinking?
Hello, good people. I am clean to the last dregs of summer as I have saturated some watermelon pieces in vodka. Added a little bit of fizzy water and some ice and...
Vodka melon.
It is not a bad choice.
Not bad.
Oh, and there's some lime as well. So if you're also hanging out this summer, pour yourself one of these.
Sounds delightful. We call that summer leftovers.
Summer leftovers.
I got vodka and watermelon and lime.
You know, the watermelon and the fizzy water are just for decoration. All you really need is the vodka and lime to be drinking Dizzy style.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about you, Mr. Guess? What are you sipping on?
Well, I have actually a special combo this evening.
Oh.
I am drinking two martinis, cheese, and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
It's hyphenated. It's all one meal.
Two martinis, cheese, and crackers.
Two martinis, cheese, and crackers. And the reason for that is that this is our Church Drunk episode that is going to be all about self-care plans, five-minute spirituality.
Yes.
What can you do when life gets busy?
And just so our dear listeners know, there are no cheese and crackers floated in your martini. It's just together.
But it has given us our second ever Church Drunk guest. Guest dog is hanging out in the cheese and crackers room.
Little guest dog.
Very attentive, hoping to get either some martini or some cheese and crackers or some boozy watermelon. Who knows?
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But a long time ago, I was in a graduate program about specifically focused on ministry and professional ministry. So there were, there was me and a few other folks that kind of do the ministry game. There were priests, there were deacons, there were nuns, there were retirees, empty nesters that just kind of have
another
heart
wide net
for Jesus.
Jeez.
And they always kind of focused on self-care in this in this course of studies because they know that ministry lends itself to burnout really easily. People, you kind of get that exhaustive kind of compassion thing going on. So they really focused, in more than just two or three of my classes, probably about half of them, there were components of it that were sit down and build a self-care plan. What are you going to do to keep yourself happy and healthy? And one of my professors was telling a story of when he was sitting with a priest and said, okay, so what is going to be your self-care plan? Mm-hmm. And the priest said, I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm just going to tell you that if this conversation does not begin with two martinis, cheese, and crackers, I don't want to have it.
I'm out.
And I instantly had my self-care plan forever. Two martinis, cheese, and crackers.
I hope that you just wrote that on every paper, at the top, with little hyphens in between. Yeah. Two martinis, cheese, and crackers. Two martinis.
And I got a master's degree for it.
And now you are qualified to host Church Drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this higher education paying off.
Exactly. Yeah. That is master's degree in action.
You know, I've never written a self-care plan, and yet I support yours.
Yeah, right? Right? It's not hard,
So we're talking today about how to take care of yourself spiritually, even if you have no time and you're very busy and you're a typical Norte Americano.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this time of year, I kind of feel like September is just practically non-existent on my calendar, actually. I feel like it just goes August, October. Because September goes by so quickly. There's so many things that are getting started at this time of year. If you have a little pinky toe in the school game at all, whether you got kids at school or any connection to it at all, you hit the ground running.
Right.
And it's just, the summer ends and the holidays aren't here and everybody just kind of zones out and just does the 9-to-5 grind.
Yeah.
And
but you can't waste September either because a lot of groundwork needs to be laid to get things going.
Right.
Otherwise it's October and you haven't started. So that's bad.
Totally. So what we're talking about is when you hit those points where life, whether it's because, extra circumstances beyond your control have really thrown you a curveball and you don't have time to be in your normal routine, Or, you know, like you're just, it's just a busy time of year.
Or maybe you don't have a normal routine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to fit in a little bit more of the balance in life.
Yeah. So in 5 minutes or less, what can you do to kind of like refocus yourself and squeeze that little bit of prayer time, God time, spirituality time into your schedule?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about a few techniques and we'll talk about just kind of a couple stories and see where it goes. But I know you've got a favorite.
Well, I do have a favorite, and I've talked about it before on Church Drunk a little bit. But the exam, and so we'll get that out of the way at the top because we are Jesuit-y people.
Yeah.
And we've been formed that way, and it just kind of stuck. And yeah. I think the examine is such a great, easy daily prayer.
Right.
In my failings of Lent, I picked that back up as like a daily thing and
yeah.
something I would do on the regular anyway, but it is such an easy one for 5 minutes. So many ways to pray it. It comes from St. Ignatius, set out kind of the general model, but there's whole books of like variations.
Yeah.
So just briefly, you just start. By
yep.
starting however you want to begin a prayer.
Right.
And this can be done anywhere. And if you go to sleep while you're doing it or you're waking up,
yep.
that's fine. Looking at your past bit of time, whether you want to do like I'm examining my morning or my afternoon or my whole day or my week.
Yeah.
So looking backwards and just where have you been close to God? Where have you seized opportunities? Where have you been that best self? Whatever you want to call that. And then where have you fucked up
yep.
and been a bit of a mess?
That list
missed opportunities.
Tends to be longer for some than for others.
Yeah. And then, you know, giving thanks along the way.
Right.
And then looking ahead, you know, yep. where do you want to be
yeah.
in it?
And the way I learned the examine was that you begin with gratitude. And I love
yeah.
that. Like, and there's so many different ways to do it, but that was just kind of the person that taught me how to do it had that as step one. Start with gratitude. Begin with a list of the blessings in your life. And that's like, it changes my mindset, I find, when I take the time to do it.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I struggle with the examine on like a personal level.
Yeah.
It didn't really click for me until I started forcing other people to do it.
Oh, hello, dear students.
Again, professional ministry.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, well, this doesn't work for me, but everybody says it's supposed to be good, so try it, you know?
Yeah.
And in, like, kind of teaching other people to do
yeah.
it and walking them through it, all of a sudden, like, the pieces started to fall into place for me a little bit better. It still isn't, like,
yeah.
something that I do as much as I should or could.
And I don't stick to the rigid formula,
yeah.
you know, and there are really, no exaggeration, books about how to change it for you. And the way I was taught to start with was to view your life and invite God to view it with you.
Right.
And it's kind of a nice way for me to look at it.
Yeah. yeah. And we've talked about it a little bit before, and
yeah.
you know, maybe people are into it. Look it up, like the Ignatian Examine. There's all sorts of rules, and there's like guided meditations
online. But honestly, a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what's good? Give thanks.
Yep.
Where have you been your best self?
Yep.
Good job.
And it's
where
all
have
about
you not?
Like that
cool.
Ignatian ideal of recognizing
yeah.
God in all things, right? Like
yeah.
a conversation that you had with somebody may have been a God moment, but you don't realize it until you take the time to reflect on
yeah.
your day.
You and know? Just the positivity of the gratitudes
yeah.
and of looking ahead and asking God to be with you in your future
right.
moments.
Right. Yeah.
It's not our deal all the time. So
yeah. And sometimes, like, we're down with calling on God, but sometimes
yeah.
we need, like, a different presence. And we've talked about that in the program as well. And, like, a lot of people have a very strong Marian devotion. And
true.
The rosary is that quick, like, 5 minutes or less, like, call back to mindfulness that
mm-hmm.
they need, you know. And it is meant to be a really meditative prayer.
Right.
It's a tough one to teach, you know. Like, I feel like we teach the rosary too young. Like, we have little kids praying it. And it's kind of like something where that, you know, like they don't know what, how to get into that meditative frame of mind.
You know, full disclosure, it is not my jam.
Yeah.
Like I
yeah.
do not connect with it. And I would like to, so there's like kind of the frustration meter, maybe like you were saying, and even though I make other people do it sometimes or I
yeah.
make myself,
yeah.
it's not my thing. And I feel like we get conflicting messages about the rosary.
Right.
So on one hand, we're like, it's a meditative prayer. Like you're reciting repetitive
yes.
prayers so that your mind can kind of knock free a little bit and meditate.
Yeah.
But then we're also like, oh, here's the next thing to think about.
Right.
Here's the next scripture to read, or here's
right.
the intention.
Reflect.
Or now we're switching it.
Yeah,
you know,
we've added a mystery and
gosh.
Done something different. Yeah, and, it's,
and like
and
that yanks me out of a meditative state. I can't just forget, you know, part of meditative prayer is supposed to be like you forget those words that you're
yeah.
just in the zone.
And I have found that I have to simplify, right? If
yeah.
I focus on doing it with the mysteries, you know, like I'm not
mm-hmm.
a prayer booklet guy,
and
so
like
it's like I'm not going to follow along there.
Yeah.
I love the mysteries,
But they're not meditative prayer.
When I'm turning to the rosary, I don't like if I try and do it with the mysteries, I end up being like, okay, I've got 10, the beads help. And then, okay, what comes next? And then I worry about, when do I do the glory be? When do I do the Our Father? Is that before or after the mystery? And then I'm like, oh, fuck, what's the next mystery? I don't even know the mystery,
and,
right?
And
like,
don't
I
forget just kind the fiery of, sins part.
Oh, God, I skip that entirely every
right.
time.
Right, I never grew up with that, so I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So there's, like, different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that we're on the same page that our favorite way is kind of, like, the meditative way.
Right, and if you've heard anybody pray it in Spanish, like, they go super fast, and that's meditative
and
for
that's
me. I'm
the
like,
thing.
Sure, I will sit with all the old ladies
right.
and listen to
We have heard some old ladies knock out in both Spanish and English.
You can do the whole thing in 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes. I mean, I've heard it done in, like, 3 minutes flat.
The
like,
whole, not just a decade, yeah. like, the whole thing.
The whole yep. thing. And a lot of times, like, you know, that is where obviously it's been part of somebody's life for a long time and they can, you know, just knock it out very quickly. And I've heard it offered like most quickly at when it's like in a, as an intention, as part of you pray the rosary for somebody else.
Right. And then it can just be meditative.
Yeah.
Like we do know the words. We're not trying to be disrespectful to like slur them together, but.
Right. But they're just, you know, like they are keeping someone in mind who needs a little bit of extra prayer power. And the way that they are most comfortable with is praying the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how I pray for people. But a lot of times, like I have seen and witnessed and been around times and I have participated in like, you know, kind of coordinated rosaries said on behalf of somebody. We do it at funerals.
Yep.
You know, and we do it in other situations. But like. When someone is just kind of in the zone, like, it's actually kind of a sight to behold, you know?
That is actually where I most connect with it. Where I'm like, yes, like, I get this now. This makes more sense to me.
Right.
Than the other way. Even though it's lovely and nice. And hey, if that works for you,
and it's,
great.
You know, everybody has a different sensibility, right? I think that there's a place for Marian devotion. And if the rosary plays into that heavily for you, or even, you know, I mean, it's not even just Mary. And when you do the mysteries, you're focusing on the connection between Jesus and Mary.
And even, like, the idea of, like, that form of Marian devotion of asking Mary to pray for you or with you for an intention is the, like, Mary figure that I am most comfortable with, right? I like the eschatological Mary where it's, like, she is the queen of all the saints, like, the premier saint. Like, that's the Mary that I can get behind, actually.
Yeah.
But, anyway,
it's one that I challenge myself to do as opposed to like defaulting to it. So if we're talking about fitting it into a busy schedule, it's usually not what I do, but some people it's their comfort zone.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of like a, all right, this Advent or this Lent, I'm going to try and pray the rosary more just kind of to reach that meditative
state. Yeah. You
have
often added that in as your prayer practice and I don't even attempt that one.
It's a fantastic way to fall asleep, if I'm being honest.
Well, you know, your guardian angel finishes it for you if you fall asleep halfway through. So that's like double points.
Totally.
But how about one that we both do like a little bit more?
Well, we like books. We are book nerds.
We are total wordy people, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, for me, both scripture and secular reading, you know, like finding a book that is like a spiritual read. Where I can read a page or two at a time, you know, and it'll just help me zone out and give me like a thought of the day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've used those at different times where I kind of need that extra effort to keep me on track and focused, or I feel like I need a little bit more discipline or something like that.
Yeah.
It's quick, it's easy, it makes me think. But scripture is kind of the original version of that. and we've got a couple favorite books that we turn to sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
The Psalms, for one, I especially love. And even though we don't know the music anymore that they were set to, they would have been musical. And so that poetry comes through.
Yeah.
And just like just one-liners from them are great way to kind of keep connected. And I often like think of them when I like look at nature, like a line will just spring into my head and it's beautiful. Like I love Psalm 121, which is about the heavens and creation and just giving praise, like those lines are always kind of with me. And I think that is a sincere form of prayer. You know, when you pause and give praise and give that, even just that thought counts.
And they are meant to be, you know, like songs, right? That's, that was kind of the origin of them. And so a lot of them have been turned into songs.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever done Taizé style prayer, it's just kind of the repetition. And a lot of that comes from Psalms. So
totally.
It's like songs with just one or two lines that you kind of repeat over and over. And it brings you to a different place, right? That's like a very immersive prayer experience. And if you've had it, then you can kind of hearken back to it just by saying the line in your head, you know, like at, like one that sticks in my head, like as a deer for flowing water longs, so my soul, O God longs for you. Like, I've sung that, and it's become kind of ingrained. And, like, then all of a sudden, like you said, you see something, and the line pops into your head, you know?
Yeah. And I think with the Psalms, too, you know, famously, the full range of emotions is displayed. So, you know, there's the lament as well. Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad we have the full range reflected there. I just love all of them.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the wisdom books. I think Proverbs, you know, going old school, Proverbs is a fun one, you know? Like, there's one where the lines that stick in your head are not always, like, beautiful and lovely. We found one once with a session that I was leading where it's like, you know, the fool returns to his ways like a dog returns to his vomit.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, best proverb ever. Just found it.
You're going to write that in, like, pretty script and hang it on the wall, like the hipsters do with the pillows. Totally. Like, you should, like, cross-stitch that on something. Yeah, crochet. Your little dog come back sniffing his vomit.
Yeah. Turn the fool returns to his ways. So does. And then there's just an illustration. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Pictograms.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I love digging into the Proverbs from time to time. Like, that's a fun book just to open to and, like point at it and just see. Like, you know, do the whole, like, spirit guide my finger. You're there. Right.
Magical Bible time.
What are you trying to tell me today? Yeah. That's, like, a fun one. And then I love the Book of Wisdom. Like, that, just, like, that sort of poem to learning how to love judging right from wrong in your own life, you know, and that whole discernment of spirits, to go back to an Ignatian thing. But, like, you know, like, wisdom is something that you should prize above all things, and it should carry you forward in a lot of ways. I mean, don't prize it above God, right? But prize it above most other tangible things of the world.
Right, because if you have wisdom, you're going to have a lot more in other areas as well.
Right.
You know, it's a foundational virtue. A lot of my
favorite lines from Scripture come from the Book of Wisdom, where it points beyond the world that we live in and towards God. You know, it says if you look at the world around you and you fall in love with it, well, then you're falling in love with God. Don't get distracted by the world here. You know? So that's another one that I'll turn to from time to time as a favorite.
Nice.
So the
Before we leave the wisdom literature too much, I did mean to say also with Psalms, I like that, kind of like we talked about with mythology a while ago, you can rewrite them. You know, that's what we hear in songs and in a lot of poetry, the rewriting of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you haven't delved into those, go read a psalm and put your own words on it.
And, like, a lot of these things are things that you can actually kind of fit into your daily schedule with, like, just a very small amount of discipline, right? Like, it's not just going to come to you, you know? Like, you kind of got to. And so that's where the whole idea of a self-care plan that we talked about in college was, like, you know, you have to make the effort, right? Like God has already bridged so much of the gap. And just, like, the slightest little effort. Like, I'm going to try.
Crack the door open.
I'm going to try to do something every day. Even if it's just setting aside, like, your 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then seeing what calls your name. Or if it's, I'm going to try and do, you know, like, I know that right now I'm feeling a little disconnected. I'm feeling a little stressed. I'm feeling a little busy. I'm going to try to pray the rosary or do this or do that. You know, like, centering prayer. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. But I can't do it for 20 minutes at a time. I'll try it for five, you know, and just be like, okay, I'm going to breathe deeply. I'm going to journey inward. And I'm going to hopefully encounter God there.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm going to strangle somebody, right? Like,
self-care, other care, whatever kind of
plan. Yeah, right, exactly. Self-care is often care for others. Right. But, like, it kind of reminded me of the book that was written a few years ago that was about, it was called My Monastery is a Minivan. Denise Roy wrote this book, and it was stories from her life where her soccer mom moments were actual, like, connections with the divine, you know? And so she was kind of, like, godifying her day-to-day life, you know?
Okay.
And we've talked about how that's kind of what we have to do when we get super stressed. When something really pushes us, the first thing to go out the window is an actual prayer practice or prayer routine.
Yes, but you hope it also pushes you to needing that connection, and even if it's in a raw format.
In those moments, life becomes prayer, right? Like, your every minute brings you closer to God. Sure,
suffering and desperation are things that make you turn
totally
to some kind of help.
Yeah.
And I think this idea of centering prayer and even just your breath. Like you're saying, like, I try to breathe deeply. Like right. that's prayerful, yeah. you know, and there's a long tradition in lots of religions of saying a word as you inhale and exhale. And like right. that counts, man. If you're yeah. like, Jesus, help me as you totally. Breathe, that is a prayer.
I was in a workshop once with a priest who said that he, when he was a young priest, was in charge of like saying morning mass for his community. And they walked in, like, he didn't show up one day, and they went to go look for him, and they found him asleep, kneeling beside his bed. He had woken up and started his morning prayers and fallen asleep. And he said, from that day forward, all it took was waking up and doing the sign of the cross and yeah. just being like, I am dedicating this day to God, and then moving on. Because he's like, it wasn't yeah. going to be beneficial to put myself through the ringer of, like, a mm-hmm. really rigorous morning prayer routine if it was going to keep me from reaching out to other people and doing what, like, I was called to do that day.
Yeah, that's so, pretty good.
Like, everyday stuff, you know, like in some moments it calls for an extra bit of effort, and in other moments it calls for finding out how your everyday routine can be divine.
And like anything else, it's a habit.
Yeah.
You know, even I have actually kind of a little weird habit of mm-hmm. a certain number showing up on my phone, like a time of the day. And I just say, like, thank you, God, for my life, like at that point huh. of the day, because I often see that time somehow. And I don't know if it's just habit or routine, but like you can make anything you want as a little reminder.
So you don't have like an alarm set? It's just when you look at your clock.
It's when
and
I
you
look at my
time?
Phone and at that time, huh. that's when I say that line.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know how it started. It's just my weird little thing.
Fair enough.
But also, you mentioned the minivan and, like, driving. And
yeah.
I used to have a commute. And
a lot
I totally became a car prayer because, A, you knock that shit out right then. Like, hey, God, it's me. I'm driving. Mm-hmm. Number one, like, don't let me die driving.
Yeah.
And number two, I've got this time where I don't need to listen to anything. And I could just sit here and drive and
right.
kind of be mindfully present of
yeah.
an unworded examine, if you would.
Totally. Well, I had a moment like that. Today,
yeah.
I was in the car. It was a very long day at work, and then from there, I went to the dentist, which actually was like my happy place today. Like I found
Shocking.
Myself in the dentist chair, like staring out the window.
That would be a miracle.
And it wasn't a particularly great view. I was staring at a fence,
okay.
but it was like all of a sudden I had the first moment of just like quiet in my
yeah.
day. And,
yeah.
like, you know, like, you got to, it takes practice to be attuned to that sometimes,
sure.
but I was super grateful to be like, oh. Like sitting in the dentist chair, having like a little moment, which was great, you know. So it can be in the car, it can be in the
mm-hmm.
dentist chair, it can be wherever. Then I got back in my car and was trying to get home like quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Kia in front of me, not trying to get anywhere quickly. And I have nothing against Kias.
I don't know. You said it out. You really called them out pretty well right there.
I have nothing against the Kia Soul and its bulbous.
Except for his name,
configuration.
Soul.
And I literally, in my mind, not out loud, because I was by myself.
Okay.
But I went, if you don't get your fucking soul out of my way, I'm going to lose my shit. And then I was like, that's my new motto in life. Like, if you don't get your fucking soul out of my way.
Soul blockage.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Wow.
Like, I feel like.
Full range of emotions, people. It's appropriate to express in prayer.
I feel like it was a prayer in its own way. You run the full gamut of emotions.
You know, God wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Somewhere.
Let it out.
Some Korean car company is making cars just
Souls
so that I can pray.
Populating the earth one way or the other.
Get your soul out
uh-huh.
of my way. Yeah.
Words by guess. You should tweet that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. There's a twopportunity missed.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That's right.
So speaking of tweets, though.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of tweets, one of the ways that we
gave you
do
that
kind
lovely
of,
transition and you
yeah.
had to go twat it up.
I did. It's a twopportunity, not a twat.
Okay, sorry.
There's not an extra T. So one of the ways that I've actually been kind of enjoying a little 5 minute or less spirituality has been since we started up the Church Drunk podcast. I'd never tweeted before. And now I decided to follow a couple of folks with that account, and one of them's the Pope. And the Pope tweets, like, every day.
Pontifex.
Like, at least once or twice a day, the @Pontifex will pop up, and he's got these, like, lovely messages.
Yes.
He's such a thoughtful person, and when you're having a really rough day, sometimes the Pope has, like, a good message to keep you focused.
And just sometimes it's nice to have a world leader tweeting something that you want to read.
That is a truism, if I ever heard one.
Truthiness.
Yes.
All right. So,
there was
shout out. What do you like?
Back on, I believe it was August 22nd, when life was going a little crazy. I checked my Twitter account, the Church Drunk Twitter account.
Church Drunk Pod. Follow
at us. Church Drunk Pod. And Pope Francis says, when we are feeling sad, when it feels like everything is going wrong, we should remember God loves me. God never abandons me. And it was like
the wah emoji. Yeah. About like, ah.
It was like the best little, like, what was it? Stuart Smalley back in the day on Saturday Night Live that was like, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. Yes. And gosh darn it. People like me. Yeah. Like, there was just this moment where the Pope had said something that I needed to hear.
Yeah, remember, like, God doesn't abandon you.
Yeah, and if it weren't for Twitter, I never would have really, like, been clued into that. So that was kind of a cool moment.
That is really cool.
Which leads us right into cool Pope moments. It's been a while since we visited some Pope.
Pope Hope!
Yeah.
One of our segments, if you would.
Kind of.
Call them that. We have segments. Anyway, well, we do talk about Pope Hope. Because we are big fans of Pope Francis. Yeah. And let's be honest, we can all use whatever hope we can find for in sure. this global world of ours. Yes. So, Pope Francis.
The world is global, you say.
Yes, the globe of ours. I just mean, like, the global society.
Yes.
Global news? Global hideousness?
Stop saying global.
Global. Globalization.
So what's the Pope up to?
All right. So the Pope's been doing a lot of cool things lately, but one that I wanted to highlight is that he and Patriarch Bartholomew from the Eastern Church, who have had sort of a historic, you know, year together. They've reunited and had some meetings, and they just like each other a lot.
Yeah.
In a very, like, lead all the people, the faithful people together kind of way.
They're in agreement that they should be bridge builders, seems like.
And, you know, they highlighted something that is dear to us here on Church Drunk, and we've had a few conversations about, which is the destruction of the earth and creation, and they issued together a statement, like, begging the world, calling on the world, throwing their weight as global figures and as leaders of faithful to help protect the earth and to turn the ship around. So if you it's several paragraphs long. I'm not going to read it for you, but you should look it up. It just came out on September 1st, just a few days ago, and it's inspiring in their unity and in their words.
Yeah.
It's also terrifying that we're in this situation, but I do appreciate people of faith being active in the world, and that does give me hope.
And, you know, it's always struck me as a bit silly that there is such division and animosity among Christians, you know, that there are people saying this is the right way and this is the wrong way. So it's nice to see two very prominent leaders within the Christian tradition rising above that, you know, like literally like centuries long kind of pettiness and saying, listen, you know, like the fundamental truths are the same, and there are things where, like, we may not always go to the same worship services, but we are very much worshiping the same God.
Right.
And
we are called, therefore, to the same things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we can do that within the Christian tradition, then hopefully there's a way where we could even branch out further than that and start building bridges even beyond.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's nice that they're using the platforms they have together to reach more people.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
And another little Pope is that the Pope, Pope Francis, currently, as we record, is in Colombia.
Woohoo!
And in Colombia, he is there not necessarily to strike a peace accord as he did, you know, like, I mean, I guess it wasn't really a peace accord when he had the agreement between the U.S. and Cuba where he had kind of pulled some strings for that. But he at the time that he was doing that, he was also really trying to keep an eye on the situation in Colombia, where there's actually the longest standing sort of like communist uprising in the world was playing out in Colombia over the last few decades. And the organization was called FARC, that were the kind of communist guerrillas. And they had been for many, many years fighting against the Colombian government. And last year, a peace accord was struck. In fact, the president of Colombia won the Nobel Peace Prize for helping to kind of facilitate that process instead of continuing the animosities. And the Pope was very supportive of that.
Yeah.
But now he's there to help build a sense of community in the wake of this peace. So he's basically saying, like, yes, we have accomplished this wonderful, monumental thing. And prizes have been awarded and documents have been signed. But guess what? The whole reason that this came about is because of all the social inequalities
that exist here. Yeah, let's look at the root issues.
Let's look at what actually caused this to happen, and let's act with compassion to fix those issues.
Yeah.
So, like, the hard work is done. Now let's really roll up our sleeves and start the harder work of fixing society.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a powerful thing for him to say, to show up, to say, I'm still with you. I'm still here. I'm not just going to, like, hang my hat on the fact that a peace accord has been struck.
Right. The work is not done. And, you know, when you think about all this work that he's doing in diplomacy and encouraging people and being public and hiring people to write good tweets
for
him.
Yeah.
You know, he's 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, that should give you some hope or at least a kick in the butt.
Totally.
We don't want to totally ignore, like, kind of the political stuff that's been going on in the Vatican. Like, he's still kind of cleaning house there. And
very
he recently issued a statement about Vatican II Council and that those liturgical documents stand.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everybody kind of, like, wants to spin it their direction, the extreme. But, you know, he's doing work on a lot of fronts. And I think that is hopeful for us and for the church and for the world.
He's a he's managing to accomplish progress while at the same time trying to reach out to a lot of different groups and say, let's try and see eye to eye on some of this stuff. So hopefully that work is able to continue in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
So
we pray for the Pope too.
Raise a glass to Pope Francis and his good
Francesco.
Work. Find 5 minutes in your day somewhere, somehow to,
rail at God.
Yeah.
Pray to God.
Anger can be a prayer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just say hi.
I'm a big fan of four-letter prayers.
Or gratitude. Whatever strikes you.
Gratitude also works. Gratitude has more than four letters, though.
Mm.
So, if you have favorite five-minute prayer practices, if you think that our ideas are stupid
if
and
the rosary is super great for you,
then hit us up with an email, churchdrunk@gmail.com.
You can tweet at guests.
At churchdrunkpod.
Mm-hmm.
You can message us on the website, add a comment, send
read
us a
blog.
Review on Apple Podcasts, any of those things, great ways to get in touch with us. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Well, we won't see you. That would be weird.
We've never seen you.
It would be.
We're not stalking you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you'll hear us next week.
You'll listen.
On Church Drunk. Church Drunk, where prayers are measured not by length, but by proof.
Hey, hey.
All right.
See you next time.